Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Do you love it loud? Then plan to attend the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, one-day event celebrating all things rock and roll. Over 20 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Panel discussions with producers that have worked with Ozzy, Slayer, Kiss, Y&T, Seven Dust, Dokken, and more. Celebrity signings and meet-and-greets with current and former members of Cinderella, Winger, Tora Tora, Collective Soul, Taiketto, The Monkees, with more to be announced. All that and record dealers slinging some sweet vinyl. The Nashville Rock and Pod Expo takes place Saturday, August 26th at the Music Valley Event Center. More information available at NashvilleRockandPodExpo.com as well as on Facebook. The Nashville Rock and Pod Expo. Feast your ears.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel. Welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. We have some great guests today. Frankie Benelli from Quiet Riot, legendary drummer. We also have Chad Stewart and Ace Von Johnson from Faster Pussycat. And joining me as my co-host today and the star of today's show, literally, because you did all the interviews, Emily Striegel. How are you?
I don't think star would be the right word, but I definitely did the interviews.
Yes, you did. I would say so. I mean, I haven't heard the Frankie one yet, but I heard the Faster Pussycat one. I think I was, no offense to the guys, but I think I was more entertained by your antics during the interview.
I don't really know what you're talking about there, but all I can say is I adore those guys. I love the Faster Pussycat boys, and I missed them last time they were in New York City because I was sick. Remember I had that horrible...
Yeah, right before M3.
Yep. Yeah, and... And then I was better by M3, but M3 was just such chaos. I barely got to catch up with them. So it was so nice to hang out with them, and I was really happy to see them.
Yeah, very cool. And where did you see them at? I didn't...
Gold Sounds.
Gold Sounds, yeah.
So it's in Bushwick, in Brooklyn. Yeah, it's in Brooklyn. It's a cool venue. It was like the second or third time I've been there, and it's, you know, on the small side, but it's in an area of Brooklyn that's kind of becoming like the hip place to go.
Right on. So we recently, less than a week ago, we saw Iron Maiden's final night of the Book of Souls tour. What a great night that was out in Brooklyn, New York. We're headed back there tomorrow night for Queen. I wanted to give a special shout out to my old friend who I ran into there, Danny LaVecchia, great drummer of a great old school commercial metal band named Zahn. And also Jerry. We finally met Jerry from Long Island.
Hi, Jerry. Jerry got us patches. I've got my patch here.
He bought me an IPA beer. He gave both Emily and I these cool official Iron Maiden Book of Soul patches, which were awesome. Thank you for those, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
And Jerry, you know, brought up a good point, which I've heard a couple times through the last year. A few people have mentioned that it'd be cool that if we started having younger bands on, like, you know, and I'm not talking, you know, 18-year-olds. I'm talking Motionless and Why, you know, even In This Moment, who are younger than me, you know, and We had.
But you used to have In This Moment on here all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry mentioned Bullet for My Valentine. I think we used to have them on. We had them on numerous times. Yeah, and I guess I'm just putting a survey out there. I did this on Facebook today. I've kind of, in the last 2 to 3 years, kind of made the choice to steer this podcast. Remember, we're 12 years in now, guys, to steer this podcast. Just do the people from my youth for the most part, or at least people who are associated. I mean, Faster Pussycat, not from my youth, but that's a band from my youth, or my younger days at least, and Emily's younger days. So I kind of made a choice to just stick with the classic hard rock, commercial hard rock and heavy metal music. But I'm open for it because, you know, we had Trivium on like a year ago and it did gangbusters. It was so, so well received that it was great to reach some younger ears. So I don't know. I'm wondering what you guys think. You can hook up with me on Facebook, send me a comment and let me know if you want to hear younger bands. You know, you can hit me up on Twitter at talkingmetal.com. And or even an email, which is mark@talkingmetal.com. Cool. Let me know what you think. Let me know who you want to hear specifically on this podcast. I want to know who you want me to interview. I'd love to hear your suggestions. Cool. And anyways, two great interviews today. Let's get into some brand new Quiet Riot. They are back. They have a brand new singer, a guy who was on the podcast probably less than a year ago. And his cell phone cut out. It was kind of an awkward interview, and that's how the interview ended. His name is James Durbin, right, Emily? James Durbin. He was from American Idol. He's the guy who jammed with Halford and Zach on American Idol back probably at this point 4 or 5 years ago, or more. Who knows? Time's going by so fast. So he's the new singer. Great voice on this guy. He's the new singer of Quiet Riot. They've obviously been through a lot of singers since Kevin Dubrow, even since the documentary that they put out a few years ago, which is a great watch called Now You're Here and There's No Way Back. Definitely check that out. Frankie's wife, Regina, was, I believe, the director or producer of that, and she's great. And do you know, Emily, I recently did a promo. You know, I'm a promo producer in real life, and I did a promo for the movie Hook. Do you remember that movie, Emily? Hook, it had...
Totally, Robin Williams.
Yeah, young Gwyneth Paltrow was even in it, one of her first movies. And Regina, Frankie's wife, is in that movie.
Does she have a role, or is she just an extra?
Yes, she's a mermaid.
Oh, she's a mermaid.
She doesn't say anything. But I was on the IMDb thing because we were trying to figure out who was in the movie and how we could write a promo about people in the movie. And I was going through every name of everyone, and there, sure enough,
that's funny.
It's the same one who produced the great documentary, Now You're Here and There's No Way Back.
Which is so good. We had so much fun watching that.
Yeah. So she obviously started as an actress. And you can see her in Hook as a mermaid. She's one of the mermaids, I think, that possibly kisses Robin Williams while he's submerged underwater. I think there's two or three mermaids that swim up to him, and she's one of them. So on that note, let's get into some brand new Quiet Riot. This is a sound sample of Freak Flag off the new record. I encourage all you guys to go download this legally. It's currently on iTunes. This is a good song. And the thing I like about James's voice is he's not a Kevin Dubrow clone. You know, he's a very different sounding voice for the band. I think he does a great job. And love the mask reference in this song. And they're really embracing what Quiet Riot is, sound-wise, imagery-wise. And, you know, and they're not putting a Kevin Dubrow clone in the position that the great Kevin Dubrow once was in. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, but he has to have the range. Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing, and he does, you know.
He has absolutely insane rage, this guy. I mean, I put him up there with, you know, we used to watch American Idol, and I never liked many of the singers. The two guys I liked were James Durbin and Adam Lambert.
I know. Do you remember I won an American Idol pool? I won $500.
I remember that, yeah.
Because, we had to put our names in, like after the second episode or something. And after the second episode, I knew Adam Lambert was going to win. Yeah. And I was like the only one. So I won
but
the
he
entire.
Didn't win. Did he?
Yeah,
he came
did.
In second. No,
oh, he
came
did?
In second. I think he came in second. Yeah.
Did
Adam
he?
Lambert came in second, I think, to some crazy country dude.
Oh, really? Yeah. Go America.
Yeah.
I think, although maybe I'm
really?
Confusing it. Yeah.
Wait,
I don't
no,
think
we
James
need to go.
Thurman.
I'm going
to
Google this right now because okay, how would I have it. Won the pool? Because I definitely put him first. Maybe I got the other people right.
I don't know. But on that note, this is Freak Flag by Quiet Riot. Frankie Benelli on drums. Alex Grossi on guitar. Chuck Wright, who's been a longtime member of Quiet Riot, even played on some of the songs on Metal Health. It had Rudy Sarzo's picture on it, but I believe two of the songs, this guy plays bass on, Chuck Wright. And who'd I miss? Frankie, Chuck, James, Alex. Yeah, Quiet Riot here on Talking Metal, followed by Emily Striegel's interview with Frankie.
Talking Metal listeners, this is Emily Striegel coming at you today, and I have on the phone with me Mr. Frankie Benelli from Quiet Riot. How are you doing, Frankie?
I'm doing great, Emily. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Awesome. I've really been looking forward to speaking with you about what's going on with Quiet Riot, specifically your upcoming release, the new album, Road Rage, coming out August 4th. I know all of our listeners are really looking forward to this. And what can you tell us about the new album, the vibe, and what can we expect?
I'm really, really excited about this record. This will be the first official Quiet Riot release that we're doing via Frontiers Records since the 2006 release of Rehab, which we did with vocalist, the late great Mr. Kevin Dubrow. And it's very much a Quiet Riot record. I think there are tracks on it. You know, we didn't go out to try to write a particular type of record or try to write a record that was a copy or heavily influenced by any of the records we've done in the past. But you know, once I noticed, once we finished writing the songs, songs like Freak Flag and Wasted are very much in tune with I think what the fans expect of the older Quiet Riot sound or influence. But then you have things like Roll This Joint and Can't Get Enough, Get Away, Still Wild, which are very, very different from some of the things we've done in the past. And that is in tune with what Quiet Riot has always done. You know, we've always made records, and especially after the success of Mental Health and Condition Critical and QR3, we always continue to make music just so that we would continue to evolve musically. And this is no different in that regard.
Very cool. So this features James Durbin on vocals. And a lot of people probably remember him as kind of the metal guy from American Idol back in the day. So I'm really interested to hear how you connected with James and how that's going.
Well, it's interesting because when I first did the deal with Frontiers last year, my first choice to come into Quiet Riot was James. And at the time, James had just finished signing a contract to do a residency in Las Vegas, which was open-ended. And I needed somebody to do the record, but also to perform live. So at that point in time, he wasn't available. And my second choice, unbeknownst to me until I called him, could do the record, but had decided that he didn't want to tour anymore. He just wanted to stay in L.A. So that option didn't work out. And I went with the third option, which ultimately didn't work. But coincidentally, all of this happened at the time when James became available again. So I sent him one of the tracks, just the music, to see what he could come up with, and he turned it around in one day.
Wow.
I mean, he's really on top of it and really prolific, and he turned it around in one day with brand new lyrics and complete new melodies. And I said to myself, okay,
yeah,
this is going to work out great for the record. But what the main reason I wanted to work with James is, you know, I really didn't watch the American Idol franchise, but I did watch him on it because he was the so-called metal guy.
Exactly.
And he did such a phenomenal job with Judas Priest and then with Zakk Wylde that I kept him in mind. I said to myself, you know, I think this guy is going to do really, really well. And what impressed me about him was his vocal range, which is similar to Kevin's. You know, Kevin had an incredible vocal range, all the highs, all the lows. And James has that quality about him. But at the same time, I didn't want a Kevin clone. So while he can sing the old catalog, he brings a lot of himself into it. And for me, that's a win-win.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that it's refreshing that he has the range, which is rare, as we all know, but he isn't a mm-hmm. clone. He is not a clone. And I appreciate that. Sometimes some of these bands, it works, right? I've seen a few bands with new singers and it's like, wow, that person really know the old singer, but you don't always want to see that. And in this case, it's not, you know, he's definitely not a clone. So I'm really interested to see, hear, you know, what he sounds like. Sounds like it was kind of perfect storm.
Yeah, I went that route with a series of singers after Kevin Dubrow's passing, and ultimately it just was never really the right fit and never really worked. So I think this is the best of both worlds, where the fans can get a very, very great version of the old material, yet have something fresh to listen to, and it's been a lot of fun. We're booked all the way right now into February of next year, and it's everything at this point in time, everything is great.
I saw that. I saw you tweeted. I follow you on Twitter. And I saw you tweeted out. You've been tweeting out those dates, and I'm looking for a New York date. I don't see one yet on there, but it seems like the dates are spread out. You're going to be adding more as we go, right?
Yeah, we continue to add. As a matter of fact, in between interviews today, I'm in touch with my agent, and I just finished accepting another date. So it continues. You know, I've managed the band since 1993, so I see all aspects of it. I see it from the creative artist side of it, but I also see it from the business side of it. And you know, there is a business element to music. I mean, that's why they call it music business, and I pay attention to both.
Absolutely. And I got a little taste of that. Mark and I watched your documentary, Now You're Here and There's No Way Back. It's been at least a year. I mean, that documentary's been out for a while.
It's been out 2 years now.
Yeah. It seems like we watched it about a year ago, and it was really interesting to see that side of of you, you know. I don't think I was aware that you were, you know, you are in the music biz. You're not just a musician. You do the other side of it as well. So what are the challenges that come along with that?
You know, I don't play video games. I never did. I never had any interest in it. I don't party. You know, I mean, I enjoy having a cocktail, but I'm not, you know, the crazy guy that I was in the 80s. And I am very focused, and I'm very dedicated to Quiet Riot. And I'm very dedicated to the fans of Quiet Riot. So I just try to do the best I possibly can for all the guys in the band, but also for all the fans. And that means, you know, more often than not, getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning because my agent is on the East Coast, so that's 9 o'clock, you know, his time. And my business day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning, and often doesn't end until 1 or 2 a.m. That's just when I'm at home, and it's a 24-hour labor of love when I'm on the road.
And so that kind of, so you have an amazing work ethic, and the fact that James Durbin showed you. He has a work ethic. The fact that he turned around that stuff so quickly for you shows you guys would probably work well together.
And he's a funny guy too. That's the other thing about it. It's you know, you saw the documentary, and a big component of Quiet Riot, besides music, was comedy. You know, Kevin and I were a comedic team to reckon with, and James has brought some of that back into the band. I mean, he's got the same energy level that Kevin has. Yeah. Or had rather, but he's younger, so he brings a refreshing younger element into the old guys.
Absolutely, and it will be interesting to see if he brings new listeners to Quiet Riot, right? Because American Idol is an entity all of, you know, I watched a couple seasons way back in the day. I don't think it's on anymore. I don't even know if it's still running, but they have their own fan base. So it'll be interesting to go to some of these Quiet Riot shows and see, are there some younger kids there, you know?
Yeah, well, it's great because he does have a very big fan base, which is something I appreciate. And he still continues to do, you know, solo things on his own outside of Quiet Riot when it doesn't interfere with the Quiet Riot schedule, which is something else I also endorse because everybody in the band has other outside interests. And as long as they continue to keep Quiet Riot as the priority, I'm all for everybody doing whatever it is that they want to do that makes them happy, makes them creative, and adds to their flow of income.
Nice. That's really cool of you. And so, as I said before, the new album, Road Rage, comes out August 4th. Everything's wrapped up, but I'm curious as to how the writing process worked. I mean, because James probably wasn't involved from the beginning. You guys have probably been writing this for a really long time.
Well, Even before we got the deal with Frontiers, I, you know, continued to write music. I write with Neil Citron, who's my writing partner, and he's also a Grammy Award winning engineer, and he engineered the 2006 Rehab record with Kevin. He engineered my solo record. And he's engineered this particular record, but we had already been writing even before I signed the deal with Frontier. So most of the songs on this record are written by myself and Neil. The music was written by myself and Neil. And then Alex wrote 100% of the music to one of the songs, and Chuck was a co-writer on one of the songs with myself and Neil. So what I did is I sent James all the original music with nothing else on it, just music, and initially just gave him a foundation and a blank canvas to write lyrics, all new original lyrics and melodies, which he did in rare form and you know, rather quickly. So we were able to take those and put them into our mixes and do the final mixes. And I could not be happier with the end result of Road Rage. And he really stepped up to the plate, as did Alex. Alex Grossi, he has played some of the best and some of the most diverse guitar playing that I've ever seen him do, because I threw him a lot of musical curves that were out of his comfort zone. And he really stepped up to the plate and did that. And then Chuck Wright's an amazing bass player. I've been playing with Chuck on and off since 1981, I think. And he's just a ridiculously talented bass player. He's been, as you saw in the film, he's been in and out of the band more times than I can count, but I'm just really happy that he's been with us since 2004, an incredible bass player and an incredible performer live as well.
Well, I'm really excited to hear the new music from you guys and to hopefully see you guys live if you get some dates, some more dates. I saw one in Pennsylvania. I'll go to PA for you guys. It's been a while.
If you find a date that you want to come to, you and your friends will be my guests.
Awesome. I love that. Okay, I'm definitely taking up on that now.
Okay.
I have to ask you a question about a headline I read that caught my eye recently about Over the Mountain, Ozzy Osbourne. Mm-hmm. Okay, our dog's name is Ozzy, if that gives you any idea of my life. He's laying right next to me right now. I love the story, and I know you probably are getting tired of telling it already because you've probably told it to a number of people at this point, but our listeners need to hear this if they haven't heard it, about Randy, and I kind of want to hear the whole spiel. Do you mind sharing it with us again?
No, I don't mind at all. And again, there's you know, some of the so-called fans out there are making it a much bigger story or controversy than it really is. The bottom line of the situation was that when Randy left Quiet Riot in 1979 to go play with Ozzy, Ozzy was trying to put a band together, out here in LA. And so I got a call from Randy. I was living in my apartment in West Hollywood, and I got a call from Randy, and he said, "Frankie, you want to go play with Ozzy?" And I said, "The guy from Black Sabbath?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Sure." So we got together, and else was I doing that week? So went down to this rehearsal studio, Mars Rehearsal Studio, and we rehearsed for about a week. And oddly enough, the bass player involved in the situation, who was the one who got Randy in touch, or got Ozzy in touch with Randy, was Dana Strum,
yes,
later from Slaughter.
Exactly.
So we did about a week's worth of rehearsals, and it was great. And a lot of the riffs that Randy was bringing into the situation, I think some of them were new things. Some of them were parts of Quiet Riot songs, and some were parts of Quiet Riot songs that were never used. I'm a huge John Bonham fan, and one of my favorite, things to play is what I call, the typical John Bonham triplet, which I was putting into every song I possibly could at the time.
Yeah.
And we worked on one of the songs, which eventually became that song. I did the triplet there. I mean, I think the Dana, obviously Randy's gone. I don't know where Ozzy stands on this to date. I think Dana would probably be able to verify this. But as it turned out, they could only take one person over to England. They decided to record in England instead of L.A., and the choice is obviously it took Randy, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
And Bob Daisley plays an intro that's very similar. It's not the same as what I play, but it's very similar, and it's still based on a triplet. And I know that Lee is also a John Bonham fan. So,
sure.
I know that Ozzy had a little Ghetto Blaster cassette tape recorder, and he was recording everything we were doing. How it ended up that we both were playing similar triplet patterns and it ended up on the record, who knows? I'm not going to deny the fact that I did it and I played it.
Exactly.
And my motivation is nothing other than historic and to set the record straight, because I'm more well known for the intro to Metal Health, the intro to Come On Feel the Noise, and the drum intro to The Wild and the Young.
Yeah.
So I really don't make, don't have to make claims to something that happened, almost 40 years ago.
Exactly.
To make myself more well-known and famous. So there's no controversy. I mean, Lee Kerslake has his opinion, and I love Lee Kerslake. I think he's a great bass player and a great lyricist. And I know Lee, and Lee is an incredible drummer, and I was a big Uriah Heep fan, and we know each other. So there's really no controversy. There's nothing but just setting the record straight.
Exactly. And it's just a good story. And I glom on to any time I hear a Randy Rhoads story. I mean, I think all of us we had such little time with him, that like any story from back in the day that he's involved in, I'm always just like, oh, tell it again. I want to hear it. I mean, but you don't have. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's funny because, you know, he was this tiny little guy, the greatest guitarist, as far as I'm concerned, of our generation, one of the sweetest guys on the planet, but he had a much lower voice than when when you look at him, what you would expect. So when he called me up that morning, Frankie, Randy, you know, it was like that. He was one of the greatest human beings on the planet. One of the greatest human beings on the planet, and gone way, way too soon. Who knows what he would have accomplished? You know, a lot of people don't know that the Quiet Riot song Thunderbird was not written about Randy dying. Kevin wrote that song about Randy leaving Quiet Riot, and Randy was scheduled to come in and play guitar on Thunderbird. It wasn't until after Randy passed away that Kevin rewrote the last verse to reflect that, and that's how that song came about. But a lot of people don't know that he was going to come in and play on Thunderbird.
That's an amazing story. I had no clue. And I mean, did Kevin talk about his departure from Quiet Riot much? I mean, I've always kind of wondered if that was, I haven't read much about, I mean, maybe there's information out there about his feelings about when he did leave.
Well, you know, Randy recommended me to Kevin when he left to go play with Ozzy after he heard me play that week's worth of rehearsals. He called Kevin. Kevin told me that Randy called him up and he goes, you got to get Frankie to play drums. He's got that big sound, is how he put it to Kevin, and Kevin related it to me. And also Rudy Sarzo told Kevin when he was leaving to go also play with Ozzy to get me, because Rudy and I have been best friends since 1972. So we had 10 years of playing together on and off before we recorded the Mental Health record. But Kevin's feelings on it, you know, he was initially hurt and disappointed because he and Randy were best friends and were really, really close. He was Randy's biggest fan, without a doubt, hands down. Kevin Dubrow was Randy's biggest fan. So you can imagine, you know, the sense of not betrayal, but the sense of loss. But that was balanced by the fact that Kevin also understood that Randy was so great that version of Quiet Riot, after releasing two records only in Japan that did absolutely nothing, that Randy needed to move on, and Randy needed to find the fame and success that he, you know, so richly deserved, which he did, albeit very, you know, for a very brief period of time. So, you know, Kevin had those mixed emotions of, you know, disappointment and sadness that he lost, you know, a guitarist and his best friend to Ozzy Osbourne, but at the same time, excited and proud of what he had accomplished.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. You do. You have to root for your friends, you know, if you know that they have a path that they're on, and that's the path for them, even if it's, you know, not your ideal situation, you have to root for them. So good for Kevin for that.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is that after Randy left to go play with Ozzy, Quiet Riot ceased to exist for a couple of years, and the band evolved around Dubrow. You know, the band was called Dubrow, which I played in from almost its inception after Randy left and after Rudy left. But we were doing a show at the Whiskey, and Randy and Rudy were on break from Ozzy, and they both came up on stage, and we did two songs with them. So
amazing. Good stories, man. So when you do come out east, I'm definitely going to take you up on that. Mark and I will come check out a show. We'll bring our friends. We're really excited. Again, to all our Talking Metal listeners, make sure you pick up Road Rage. It's out on August 4th. Where can everyone pick it up?
They can order it direct. There's a lot of portals. They can order it directly from Frontiers. They can get it on Amazon. And I will continue to do email blasts and promoting it on my Facebook page and Twitter. So it'll be very easy for you to find it.
Awesome. I see you're pretty active on Twitter. I got to find you on Facebook as well. But thanks so much for your time today, Frankie. It was a blast talking with you. Looking forward to seeing you hopefully this fall or this summer. And thanks for coming on Talking Metal.
Emily, thank you so much for taking the time and the support. I appreciate it. And give my love to Mark. And I said the invitation stands. So you find we're playing somewhere, hunt me down, and you guys are on the list.
Will do. Thanks, Frankie.
Mountain. Critician.
Critical.
Tension is mounting. I'm on the critical list.
Help! That was Condition Critical, a song that we played on the podcast. Actually, I take that back. It wasn't a podcast. On the live radio show. Now, Frankie Benelli had called into the live radio show that John and I used to do, and then we would basically record that show and cut it up as a podcast. This is many, many years ago, 6-7 years ago when that was happening. And it was great. We had a Manhattan studio where we did it. Sometimes people would come down to the studio. It was so awesome. We've fallen far since those days. But anyways, Frankie called up and we had a malfunction that night where we didn't record the interview. So very few people heard this amazing interview. He gave John and I like a 40-minute interview where he talked about Randy. And I know you got to talk him, got him talking about a lot of that stuff too, Emily. But we sent the hard drive out to some talking metal fan in Arizona who worked on restoring hard drives for the CIA, and he couldn't even get it back.
I remember that.
Yeah, he couldn't even get it back, and he was like, should I send the hard drive back to Bionic, the studio where we recorded? And I just said, no, keep it. What a mess. But I'm so glad we finally, thanks to you, Emily, got a new interview with Frankie Benelli, his second time on Talking Metal, his first time that more than 30 people are hearing the interview.
I know, yeah. But what a great guy, though. Seriously, I had so much fun talking to him, and we're definitely going to hook up with him when he comes into town. And how fun to hear the Randy stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get enough of it. You know?
One of our early dates, but long before we were married, was Quiet Riot September 11th, 2002, one year after the attacks. Emily and I saw
B.B. King's.
Them at B.B. King's. That was with kind of what I'd call the classic lineup of Carlos, Rudy, Kevin, and Frankie, of course. That was a great night, though. Good memories of that night. Condition Critical, the song we heard coming out of the interview. I know Frankie likes that because when we had him on the live show, the lost interview, if you will, we played that coming into the song, and I remember, or into the interview, and I remember how psyched he was because he told me he loves that. And that drum part kicking into Condition Critical is absolutely insane. A true legend, Frankie Benelli, here on Talking Metal. Guys, support Talking Metal by using our Amazon links or PayPal donations. Those are coming in. I just had some vinyl sent to me, which I'm going to address by a Talking Metal listener, which I'm going to address in the very next episode of Talking Metal, where I play down your phone calls. Leave me a message today. This is a last call on voicemail messages because the next episode will have them. 973-757-1917 is the number to call. That's 973-757-1917. Wanted to mention every Friday on TalkingMetal.com, we have good new music. As you know, when I was a kid, when Emily was a kid, the new music came out on Tuesdays. Now it comes out on Fridays if you've happened to have been asleep for the last 15 years. It comes out on Fridays now, guys. And every Friday morning, go to TalkingMetal.com and we tell you, you know, there's hundreds of releases that come out every day. We tell you what the good ones are that you should listen to. Victor Ruiz and Joe Beck, of course, help me out with that. Sometimes I do it myself. Sometimes those guys do it. And sometimes we all team up and put it up together. Good new music every Friday on TalkingMetal.com. On that note, let's get into a little faster, Pussycat. This is Bathroom Wall, followed by your interview conducted when?
Two nights ago
from the time we're recording it. So that was like 25th, July 25th, 2017 in New York City in the outer borough of Brooklyn. Here is a little Faster Pussycat, Bathroom Wall, classic stuff here, followed by Emily's interview with Chad and Ace from Faster Pussycat. They don't necessarily play on this song, Bathroom Wall, but they are a big part of the band nowadays and part of the legacy for sure of Faster Pussycat. So here we go.
This is Emily Striegel from Talking Metal coming at you from Gold Sounds in Brooklyn, New York City. And I'm sitting on the tour bus here with the boys from Faster Pussycat. I've got Chad Stewart and Ace Von Johnson. How are you guys doing today?
We're all right. How are you?
Awesome, because I'm going to see you guys play in about how many minutes here?
Long enough.
Just getting revved up. How are you, Ace?
I'm still breathing. How are you?
I'm good. Last time I saw you guys was at M3, and man, that was an interesting show, and I got to catch up with Ace.
What happened there?
If I can remind you guys what happened, Tammy fell ill basically the day of the show.
Day before he fell ill with what we thought was pneumonia. Now, no, it was something a bit more serious, but he's on the mend, and he's back with us, so... We made it through the show. We had some special guests at M3 that came out, helped out, and, you know, now we're back out on tour.
You helped out.
I did.
What?
Well, indeed.
It was so fun to see you sing a few. You sang a couple songs, right? Didn't you kick everything off?
I did, indeed, sing a couple songs.
What'd you sing?
We did Slip the Tongue and Cat House, and maybe I think I did one more, but then we had all our special guests. We had Jason McMasters from Dangerous Toys and Cher from Vixen, and my good buddy Ted Poley came out to help us close everything out. And, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah, it was so awesome. I know I already talked about this. So people who heard my interview with Ace at M3 already heard me gush about the fact that it was, like, so special to see everyone just come up.
I'm glad that's the way it came across. I'm glad that's how everybody thought about it because, you know, we don't cancel, clearly, no matter what. you know, that's... Well, yeah, I mean, let me rephrase that. We very rarely cancel. And if we were there, and if we could, we would rather play than not, because we wanted to do something for the fans. So hopefully it turned out okay. I think it did.
So it was cool, as I said, to see you sing. You sing, you play drums. You have a side project that I didn't know about that my husband, Mark, who runs the podcast, loves, Motor Christ.
Yep.
Do you sing in this project? What do you do?
I do. I play drums. Motor Christ is a lot like Kiss. We all sing and play. We're all lead singers. We're all writers. So it's an equal band across the board. And so, yeah, I've got that. And then Ace and I just have joined the Reformed Throbs.
Yes.
So that is also happening. Sweetheart and Danny and Ace and I. And we've got one show under our belt, and the next one coming shortly, the end of September, with Kix in Denver.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, the Throbs and Kix should be a fun show.
God. I saw Kix for the first time at M3, and I almost died. They were so good.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good friends of ours, so it just that all worked out good. Danny's from Maryland, so he's known him all his life.
Oh, I didn't know
so,
that.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and Danny used to be a New Yorker. I was just talking to him inside for a little
bit
about...
That's where the Throbs came from,
exactly.
So... But Sweetheart transplanted as well, so
yeah.
It just made things easier to kick it on the West Coast now.
Exactly. No, I was sad to miss out on that show, but you got to play something East Coast. You have nothing
I'm
planned
sure,
yet?
I'm sure we will. We don't have a plan yet. We're still maneuvering faster dates for the rest of the year. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, so.
Because, you know, Throbs, they're kind of legendary, you know, in the rock
here.
Circle here in New York.
Here in New York, yeah.
Exactly. You get a lot of people out.
Yeah. So we're going to do something, but we want it to be special. We don't want it just to be... a thrown together thing. So we're going to take some time and promote it and make it the right thing.
Do it right?
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
You're going to do it at Gull Sounds out in Brooklyn?
I don't know about that.
You know, the clubs in Manhattan are few right few now. They're just clean. Few and far between. It's really hard to find a rock club in NYC and nowadays.
No. So we're going to do our best. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a few. Maybe we'll do a few shows. Yeah. If it, you know, if it's popular and people want to come out, it may be, you know, because Gold Sounds holds what? Not even 100 people.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's small. So, you know, maybe we'll have to do, maybe we'll do multiple nights at different venues.
Yeah.
What about writing anything new with the Throbs?
Yep, that's going to happen too, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. What's going on?
Yes.
Yes.
I love... Yes.
I don't... You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do some new music. Maybe have some Gilby-ness on it and yeah. All that.
Okay, cool. Oh, right. Gilby played at the Whiskey Show, right?
Yes, he did.
What did he do? He came out for a couple songs?
Came up and he played second guitar on a couple Ramones songs and... yeah.
Now, who's he, like, close with in your crew? Everybody?
Yeah, everybody. I mean, they're all, you know, Tammy and Gilby have known each other for years. Danny and Gilby have known each other from years, from when they used to come out and play the Scrap Bar and stuff, for Kill for Thrills and for Candy.
Whatever
back, yeah, back in the day. Well, that's a very good question, Ace. Yeah,
so, Chad, this is your first time on Talking Metal. Ace has been at least a couple times at this point. So I've never had the chance to interview you and ask you about kind of your roots and where you came from and like other bands you've played with.
Okay.
Now have you played with LA Guns and Enough's Enough?
Yep.
Or just LA Guns? You played with Enough's Enough.
LA Guns, Enough's Enough, Bang Tango for a short bit, Pretty Boy Floyd for a very short bit.
Oh my God.
Gilby I've played with for years. I'm still in and out with him. Love Hate. Who else?
God.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I
ran the gamut, pretty much.
He was in Wasp for.
Yeah, I was in Wasp for like. Yeah,
that.
I was. Yes, I was.
Oh, that's so funny. Wait,
I just. On this show, we're going to have Frankie Benali, I told you. And he was in Wasp too, so we've got two Wasp. Oh, I forgot he was. I think I asked him about that.
And he was in Festival. Didn't he do a. He did a song on the boat, didn't he?
Sure did.
Yep.
Did he get up and do
Cat House.
He did Cat House,
such
yeah.
A good guy.
Yeah,
man.
He's great.
And you guys have the common denominator of also manage. You manage Faster Pussycat, and he manages Quiet Riot.
Correct.
So you're kind of type A personality too, huh?
Yeah, I suppose.
That's why it's the drummers that are always the managers, because you kind of be an octopus and have all eight arms working at once.
Yeah, it's a lot sometimes, yeah. But we make it go. We make it go.
That's cool. I know last time I talked to Ace, I asked a little bit about any writing stuff. I know you guys are sick of hearing this question about Faster Pussycat. I'll ask a different type of question.
Appetite for Hysteria?
Appetite for Hysteria.
Chinese Democracy Mach 2.
Say that again.
Chinese Democracy Mach 2.
Chinese
mockery.
Chinese mockery.
I was going there. Right. Trying to figure that joke out. It was in there somewhere.
Are funny. So here's a different type of question. If you guys have done some different type of stuff, you've done glammy stuff, you've done kind of sleaze rock stuff, you've even done, you know, some more like industrial type. You had an album that was kind of industrial-ish. What would you? Yeah, I mean, not Ministry,
right.
Like industrial, but
ish,
you know.
It had tinges of it. Yeah, sure.
If you were going to change direction and do something different, what would it be?
Well, I think we have changed direction, wouldn't you say, Ace? A little bit.
Yes, we have changed to one direction.
At mockery speed?
Yes. Mockery speed.
Yeah, at the speed of 21 pilots. These jokes are for people under 25, just to clarify.
That would not be me.
I think we've kind of gone back to everybody's roots and maybe also gone back a little bit, before the first Pussycat record, to what... The music that Tammy dug that made him want to write those songs in the first place. So we've kind of taken a combination of what Danny grew up on and what Ace grew up on and what I grew up on and kind of got in a room and flushed him
And what are some of those influences?
Cooper.
Alice Cooper, New York Dolls, Ramones, more modern, probably Turbo. There's definitely some Turbo Negro in there.
Nice.
T-Rex. There's a lot of Bowie. There's a lot of a lot of elements. And Gilby is producing. So we've also had his influence in on this as well. And, you know, he's done 1,000 things. So it's kind of an amalgamation of all that together at this point. Where we have left it sounds really good. We're all really happy with it.
Yeah.
now that Gilby's involved, it's kind of taken on a whole new life. And now that he's feeling better, I'm kind of glad that we've waited, because he's starting to, you know, he's quit smoking and
by 2024.
But exactly,
it's huge.
So yeah, huge. So I'm kind of glad we waited, because I think it's going to make the world a difference.
That's awesome. That's good news. When you're not on the road, I heard through the grapevine that you know how to cook some shit.
I do know how to cook some shit.
Tell me a little bit about Chef Chad.
Well, Chef Chad isn't really a chef. He's more of a
mixologist.
Well, I do that. Yeah, I make drinks and come up with recipes. My best friend John Eric Hockey has a chain of restaurants. Not really a chain. It's three or four restaurants in L.A. called St. Felix. There's a few locations of it in the Powder Room as well. And I've helped with the menu there. We have the L.A.'s. 2 years ago, it was voted best Bloody Mary. In L.A., I came up with that.
Ooh, I want to know. Oh, you can't tell your secret.
I cannot tell my secret, but
come
there, you can have one.
Okay.
We're actually getting ready to bottle the mix, so the mix will be available across the United States here shortly. So, yeah, so I do that. When I'm home, that's where I am.
How do you even get a distribution deal for something like that?
It's a lot of work, turns out.
I bet. But you got the management skills.
Taking about 3 years to get together, but we finally...
Awesome.
And a lot of cooks in the kitchen, but we're working it out.
I'm buying it all. Because you know what I do? This is disgusting. I take V8 and I literally just pour vodka in it. Is that gross?
Yeah, that's absolutely horrifying.
That's what I do.
That's actually how I came up with doing this in the first place. I hate tomato juice, but I love spicy stuff. So it made no sense that I wouldn't like Bloody Marys, except for the fact that I don't like the taste of tomato juice. So
is the mix spicy?
So one of them is, yeah.
Is it spicy?
It is. One of them is, yes, ma'am.
Hey, spicy cheese dog.
I can't say that.
Can you do spicy?
Spicy what?
Oh, never mind. You guys don't do the spicy talk. All right, never mind. So do you have a special, like, when you do cook, though, do you have a specialty dish, or is it really just mixology that's your thing?
No, I mean, I cook a lot of stuff. I don't know that there's any one thing, particular cuisine that I'm more apt at than another, but, yeah, I kind of dabble in everything.
Do you cook for the guys on the bus?
I do. Actually,
we've
got a whole set of stuff underneath that brand.
Don't.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Well, what do you make on the bus then?
Well, it all depends. We've got crock pots and skillets and panini machines. And
shit.
We have a grill underneath the bus.
Are you
kidding
me?
Days off, we are, you know, out in the backyard.
Oh, like charcoal grill?
Oh, yeah. Out in the backyard making drinks. And
that scares me, though. Don't put that thing under the bus when it's still hot.
No, you don't do that. You have to be smarter than the charcoal, apparently.
Yeah, seriously. All you need is, like, I feel something hot. And you've got a fire under the bus.
Yeah, we're good. We're not... Yeah, exactly.
All right. I'm excited for you guys. I know I don't want to take up too much of your time because you guys have a busy night ahead of you. But I'm excited to hear you guys play tonight. Where are you off to next? Do you even know? Probably not.
I do.
I don't know.
Chad knows because he's the manager.
We're in Waterford, New York tomorrow, up by Albany.
Nice. And how long does the tour go?
Not short enough.
It goes through mid-August, and then we go to the UK to the Hard Rock Hell Festival with Love Hate.
Oh, yes.
And we've got 5 or 6 dates over there, and then we start a full European tour with Mr. Big and The Answer October 26th, and that goes through up to December.
Holy shit. So you guys, I haven't seen you guys do an EU, like a tour of Europe in a while. How long has it been?
Haven't. One of this size we've never done. I mean, they haven't done since back in the day.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That'll be fun, though.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that, Ace?
Yes.
Okay. All right. On that note, I hope you guys rock it tonight. Good luck on the rest of your tour. Good luck
in
Europe. And everyone, check out Faster Pussycat. Check out online. Where can they find tour dates? Where's the best place to find tour dates?
Our Facebook page, probably.
Facebook's good. Or there's a hosting site called bandsintown.com. So bandsintown.com/FasterPussycat. Or our Twitter, which is @FasterPussycat. Or our Friendster account, which is always good, which is #HTTP. No, I'm kidding.
That was a joke for people under the age of 25, you said?
Well, around that age.
Okay,
check
thanks, guys. See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for being on Talking Metal.
Bye.
Generation after generation.
What you just heard was Emily's interview, that song right there, The Power and the Glory Hole. Emily, thanks so much for doing this with us here on Talking Metal.
I love it. I love, love, love it. I'm glad you guys are digging it, at least some of you. I hope so.
Yes.
Leave absolutely. Your messages. Just don't leave mean ones. Yeah. No, leave the mean ones. I like to hear the mean ones too.
Yeah, which reminds me, you leave comments in the section, in the comments section on talkingmetal.com for everything that we post. We're posting.
If you troll me, I won't delete it.
Okay, there you go. She's on Twitter too at Emily Striegel. And again, check the website and leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought of this, Emily. Let us know what you thought of this episode and Emily's interview stylings. Also, I do two other podcasts, Talking Rock, subscribe to it on iTunes, and Metal Raps. You can subscribe to both of those on iTunes, and please leave reviews for those two podcasts and this one on iTunes. That's going to do it for today's episode, guys. Emily, thanks so much.
Thank you.